No playing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to D20 Dudes, a tabletop role-playing podcast where the die decides our topic. I am quite possibly Dylan.
I'm Jenny.
Molly.
I suck at being word.
God damn it.
You're first. Hey, so we're gonna be doing Thirsty Sword Lesbians Part 2. And guess what? I fucked it up last time and it stopped recording, so we lost like a whole 10 minutes of fucking talking about this already. So for breezing through shit.
Part 2.5.
For breezing through shit a little bit too fast, it's because we talked about this already.
Alright, well let's redo a little recap of how part one is, because I think we did part of that in the previous one.
Well, the thing Word asked about was strings. And the way strings work, yeah. If you've got a string on somebody, it's like you know something, or you know a way of like manipulating somebody, or like how to kind of schmooze them a little bit. It's basically, you, if you've got a string, you can spend it to influence somebody to do something you want them to do. And they're of course allowed to say no. This is a game where, you know, if you don't want to do something, you don't have to do it. It's just the way how it goes. It's your character. You do what you want to do. If you ever get four strings on somebody, then you will learn a deep, dark secret about them that they may say they it's okay. Stumbling over my words again. I got to get at least one of these in every recording. Yeah.
Shut my pants in the third grade.
Me too.
What?
So if you ever get four strings on somebody, you learn a deep, dark secret about them that they might not even know about themselves. You clear all strings. But you're like, hey, I know something about you, and I can bring this up.
Strings attached. My ass.
Strongs.
So we're going to start off again with the Infamous. The Infamous once participated in wicked deeds, but they've become fiercely righteous in trying to atone. Their central conflict arises from the lasting consequences of their past actions and beliefs and virtues. Past actions and beliefs versus their new convictions. Learn to read, Dylan. Will they repair the harm they caused? Will they seek forgiveness, or will they despair? Will they find a new place to belong? Edgelords. Their stat distributions. Their stat distributions can be +1 daring, -1 grace, 0 to heart and wit, or +1 to spirit, or +1 daring, 0 to grace, 0 to heart, +1 to wit, and -1 to spirit. Their main big thing is called what cannot be undone. You've hurt people, and they have no obligation to forgive you or engage with you. Before defining relationships and character creation, propose a wicked past that you think could be forgiven and ask each PC this question. What circumstances or subsequent deeds could make it possible to forgive this past? If anyone hesitates or can't answer the question, revisit your past and tone it down. You can tone down the gravity of your backstory by reducing the severity of your deeds or the agency you had in enacting them. And afterwards, answer these questions. 1. What personal growth are you proud of? 2. What about your past causes you the most grief? And 3, you swore to never again perform certain actions that could lead to harm. What are they? If you ever break this vow, you stagger, then decide whether you want to keep that vow or abandon it. Meaning they might not grow at all. If stuff sucks that bad. Their starting playbook moves are Wicked Past. When you hear about a villain for the first time, you may decide that you know them from your past. If so, give them a string on you and ask a question from the Figure Out a Person list and take +1 forward against them. And Make It Right. When you allow yourself to be vulnerable to someone you hurt during your villainous past, they choose 1. Decline to engage, and they gain a string on you. Lash out, and you stagger. Guide you, they mark XP and give you a task to help you make amends. Show vulnerability, and you take +1 forward to interact with them. And Forgive you, you each clear a condition, and this move no longer triggers with this person. Their truths of heart and blade are undeserving. When you become smitten with someone, say why, give them a string, and answer the question, why do you think they would be wrong to forgive you? And Your Wicked Heart. When you figure out a person during physical conflict, you may additionally ask one of these questions, even on a 6 or lower. What are you most ashamed of? Or how could I get you to betray your beliefs? How do I get you to be sucky like me?
Or as good as me? Ooh. Well, you did talk about kisses a lot in the first episode.
Kissing's a major thing in this game.
I can tell.
You give somebody a little kiss, and it's like, boom! Stat boost.
Can you be a spider?
Spider kiss.
Yes.
You can be whatever you want. Yes. The actual art for the Infamous is a pretty bitchin'-looking octopus lady.
Dude, I just realized that this is all very serious, but you could just as easily make it into an anime comedy trope villain. like the crab guy from One Punch Man and just have like some kind of backstory where he's like, my mom never fed me crab growing up, and then I went to a crab festival and ate all the crab, and I ate so much I became Crab Man.
One Punch Man is so crab.
And God, that's God. My evil backstory. Now I go around just murdering people for some reason.
I was devoid of crab. Now I am all crab.
I love One Punch Man so much.
We need to watch it.
So good. Do you keep up with it, Molly? Have you read the recent chapters?
I don't think so. I have someone that I know that has, so I could always ask him questions if something juicy happens, but like, he's currently embroiled in Chainsaw Man, so...
Chainsaw Man's also really
good. Yes, it is. I watched a couple episodes.
But there have been some recent chapters of One Punch Man where he's been having a fight with Tatsumaki.
Is that the emo kid?
No, that's the chick with the super bitchin' psychic powers.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So they've been having like this big like back and forth, like she keeps breaking stuff with her psychic powers and he's trying to get her to stop and like be more respectful of people's property.
Mm-hmm.
Because of course he's Saitama. This is what he's going to do. He's going to try and have this dumb conversation in the middle of a fight. And at one point they were breaking so much stuff that Saitama just grabbed her and like held her to his chest and like jumped away. And she's like, what are you doing? Put me down. How dare you, you pervert. And that kind of thing. And after that, whenever he finally got her to calm down, he was just like, all right, we need to like, stop breaking people's stuff. Just like calm down. Don't do this anymore. All right, cool. Let's go back. And she's like, all right, fine. Let's go back. And like walked up to him as if expecting him to like pick her up and jump away again. And he's like, all right, I think we're going this way. And she got super pissed that he didn't pick her up again. It was really cute.
That's funny.
It is funny. That sounds like one Punch Man.
It's so goofy. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That aside over with, the Nature Witch. The Nature Witch is deeply connected to their environment and less experienced when it comes to people. They're either new to socializing or are newly exploring what it feels like to socialize as their true self. Their central conflict revolves around the growth that their explorations will require from them and those who love them. As I was talking about before I realized that my recording stopped last time, the Nature Witch is kind of meant like, you know, it talks about nature, like, ooh, plants and stuff, but there's of course going to be stuff like, especially in this very book, it talks about, hey, there's going to be like sci-fi and you're flying around in starships and stuff. It doesn't necessarily have to be plants. It could just be like whatever their primary environment is. So like if they're more adept with machines and talking to computers and interfacing with that kind of stuff, you can have a nature witch that functions in that way, where instead of being a nature witch, they're like a sci-fi nerd wizard. So don't feel compelled for it to be plants.
Oh.
They're stat. Their stat allocation, they can either have +0 to daring and grace. Do what?
It's earthbenders / the jungle waterbenders.
Or Neo from the Matrix.
Yeah, but that's not as naturey and cool and green.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be nature and cool and green if you don't have a whole lot of nature around to be cool and green in.
I don't know, nature's pretty cool.
Matrix didn't have green.
It could be just a unicorn wizard.
Plenty of green.
From what I remember, there was a lot of green in the Matrix.
Almost exclusively, in fact.
I guess you could be a nature's witch and a bacterial man. That'd be gross.
Hey, you'd be a bacteria witch. That'd be dope as hell, actually.
It'd be very slimy.
I use my magic powers to give you the bubonic plague. Fuck you!
That would be serious. Goodness gracious.
A bacterial infection, or was it a virus?
It was bacterial.
Hmm. Gross.
Indeed. Yep. Their stat distributions can be either +0 to daring and grace, +1 to heart, -1 to wit, and +1 to spirit, or -1 to daring, +1 to grace, +0 to both heart and wit, and +1 to spirit. Their big shlam-a-lam is curiosity. Dealing with people feels new to you and you might be awkward, but you want to learn. What better way to learn than by doing? You choose 4 trials from a list, and there's a lot of these, so I'll give a few as an example, but I'm not reading this whole list. When you complete a circle trial, cross it out and choose one, mark an XP, clear a condition, or take a string on someone involved. When your 4 chosen trials are fulfilled, reflect on what you've learned about yourself and pick 4 more. If you complete the entire list, choose the ones that meant the most to you, and then evolve into a new form of life inspired by those experiences. Adopt a new playbook, remain a nature witch, or retire to live happily ever after. Example trials include ride a fantastical creature, fall in love, lose someone you care about, liberate something dangerous, experience an altered state with a friend, reject a conviction you once held, achieve a lost cause, kiss someone dangerous, shock someone with an unwelcome truth, or even earn forgiveness for a misdeed.
Could ride a fantastical creature involve having of the sex? This is Thirsty Sword Lesbians.
Depends on if it's that sexy dragon you worship.
My brain just went, some of these can go together. Like, you can kiss the villain, turn around, you know, and tell the people, hey, I kissed this villain, and then be like, hey, can you forgive me for kissing this villain?
Don't game the system. Don't do it.
I feel like there's some hate, kill, fuck in this game.
That sounds hilarious.
I think it's supposed to be fuck, marry, kill, dog.
Whatever it is, I don't care.
Their playbook move they start with is called Wild Friends. You can speak with animals and plants and may influence them with strings just like NPCs. Near your home or anywhere you have spent a long period of time, animal and plant friends are always nearby when you want them. Truths of Heart and Blade are, love conquers all. When you become smitten with someone, say why, give them a string, and answer the question, what is a clear challenge to being with them that you're overlooking because of your naivete? And Clear-Hearted Insight. When you figure out a person during physical conflict, you may additionally ask one of these questions, even on 6 or lower. 1, what makes you feel loved? Or 2, what do you hope for the future? These are very bright and hopeful kind of characters.
They absolutely are.
They will all die.
They would not last with my play, with the group that I play with. And yes, I'm talking about my Wonder No More players.
I will prove you wrong.
Muhahaha. Says a Teowyn.
Hey, well, guess what? I'm playing a bard now.
Yeah, you're going to be playing a bard.
Named Bilbis.
Bilbis Scrimbo, the bard.
I like it.
He's not even a halfling, he's a holeling. We don't know what that is, but there he is.
An assling, more like a whole assling.
The Scoundrel. The Scoundrel is a hero of action and intense physicality. Their sword fights are punctuated by banter and flirtation, and end in kisses as often as they end in bloodshed. Their central conflict lies in their urge to explore new horizons versus committing to purpose or security. Their starting stat distributions can be +1 to daring, +1 to grace, +0 to heart, -1 to wit, and +0 to spirit. Or +1 daring, +0 grace, -1 to heart, +1 to wit, and 0 to spirit. They start with no spirit. They did not enjoy going to their high school sock hops and such. Just no spirit.
No school spirit. Because that's what I do when I think of playing games. School spirit.
They ain't going to no pep rally.
Ain't going to no pep rally.
Now I'm haunted by the stupid chants we had to do. Oh my god.
This is the same thing that we were talking about with, like, corporate pride. School pride? Why? Oh, like, why? I don't care. Who cares?
We had to do the Walmart squiggle the other day.
They literally couldn't make me. They were like, hey, you're gonna come to this meeting and you're gonna participate in all these dumb things, and I was just like, no.
The only reason we had to do it was because the AP manager was late to the meeting. He had to lead the chant, and you could tell that nobody wanted to do it.
That's because Flynn's, sorry, really, I have PT, and it feels
I have PTSD from that stupid squiggle.
Their scoundrel's big thingamajingus is living in the moment. Why are you so fickle? Is there something you need to figure out about yourself and you keep looking for it in other people instead? Are you afraid of the vulnerability that comes from investing in a relationship? Is your true love unattainable? Are you just that oblivious?
Yes, yes I am. Yes,
can this pill help?
Well,
Sorry, I like that.
If you suffer from one or more of these symptoms,
Insight.
No.
Happening, Bob.
Choose something you'll be able to grow past to give your character an emotional story arc. You don't need to figure it out immediately, and the scoundrel themselves may not even know it. They start with Heat of the Moment. Telling you what your heart meant. When you taunt someone into doing something they want to do but find unwise, roll plus daring. If the target is an NPC, on a 7 to 9, they choose 1. Create an opportunity for you or your allies, or they give you a string on them. At 10 plus, they'll do it in exchange for a small concession or reassurance. If the target is a PC, on a 7 to 9, you choose one. They mark an XP and they do it, or they take a condition if they don't. If you get a 10 or higher, they mark an XP if they do it and must take a condition if they don't. Meaning, have to do both. Can't choose one. For either a PC or an NPC, if you aren't already smitten with them, you may choose to treat a 7 to 9 result as a 10 plus by choosing to become smitten with the target. Love at first sight. When you become smitten with someone you barely know, declare your undying love and give them a string on you. Lose your smitten status with anyone who has no strings on you. Take plus one forward to any act you think might impress your new interest. Shiny and new. When you give or receive emotional support in an intimate moment with someone new, you each mark XP or clear a condition. Can you tell what this scoundrel is about yet?
Han Solo.
Yeah, they're a little Han Solo, yeah. Their truths of Heart and Blade are to love and lose. When you become smitten with someone, say why, give them a string, and answer this question. Why would your romance never last? And repartee. When you figure out a person during a physical conflict, you may additionally ask one of these questions, even on a 6 or lower. 1, what would make you run away with me? And 2, where did you learn to fight? I like both of those options. So you're always just throwing those, like, weak underhanded punches?
Sucker punched. I got sucker punched in high school. It sucked.
Sounds like it sucked. A few times,
yeah. I got hit once.
I don't know about hits.
But only once.
I got hit once because we had this dumb idiot, this big oaf of a man in our high school. He was like nobody liked. He's just a big dumb idiot. But he, at one point, like, started something with one of the other kids, and, like, the guy just, like, he wasn't having it, so he's like, shut up, quit being a bitch. And, he, like, swung his laptop at him and hit him in the side of the head, and then his head hit my head. And that's how we both took damage from that exchange.
See, that guy has me beat. I've never swung a laptop at someone, but I swung my history textbook at my whole class.
I'll also use a chair.
No, the teacher threw the desk at me.
The teacher threw a desk at you?
Yeah.
The teacher?
So, yes, the teacher.
Is this person dead now? Because I will make them.
I don't know if he is or isn't, and frankly, I don't care. He was really dumb. Really, really dumb. Water was spelled W-A-T-T-E-R. Hitler was born in Germany, and Oklahoma was one of the first places settled by the colonists for his very fertile soil, and his excuse for his stupidity was, I went to public school in Texas.
Oh. I
was you know going, what? I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
Which,
yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Which school? Which state was it? Okay, all right.
Oklahoma. We were in Oklahoma.
Oh, a Will, Texas. That's Oklahoma's SoundCloud rapper name.
Yes. Yeah, we are in Little Texas. And oh my god, I hated him so much. But he threw the desk at me. Not one of the ones with the chair. One of the separate ones. You know, those big, chonky, separate ones.
Yeah, I will eat that person.
He's not at this age, at the age he's in, he's probably all grizzly and
if he threw a desk at one child, he probably did it multiple times. And does absolutely. Not deserve to live.
He got fired. He got fired a year later after like an investigation or something.
How did he not get fired immediately for throwing a desk at a student?
Yeah.
Because apparently I was the bad person for being bullied and having enough and just starting to swing my book at people.
I'm gonna
but
eat this
they
human.
Never bullied me that bad again. They never did. They were like, okay, listen. Don't mess with the German, because that was my nickname, the German. And they said, don't mess with the German. She'll hit you with a book.
What is this, holes? I'm the caveman now. Fuck off. This is stupid. I'm killing everyone. The world is over now. Goodbye, everybody.
This can all be summed up by... Fuck it.
Anyway, back to thirsties and swords and lesbians.
The lesbians who
thirsties and swords and lesbians. The Seeker. The Seeker comes from a toxic society and has found a new community in which to belong and grow. Their central conflict pits tradition and upbringing against justice and developing their personal values. I just cannot talk. I don't know how to do it. Help.
You use your tongue and the roof of your mouth and your jaw. Does that help?
My jaw hurts right now.
Sounds mildly
sick. Why? Oh. And, I mean, kinda.
I don't know why. I guess kinda. Their stat distributions can be plus one daring, plus zero grace, minus one heart, plus one wit, and plus zero spirit, or plus zero daring, plus one grace, plus zero heart, minus one wit, and plus one spirit. They are a complicated playbook. They have commandments. Describe the authority that governed your upbringing and choose at least six commandments the authority has issued. This is already a long list, but I'm just going to give three as an example. Always answer an insult with the drawn sword. No intimacy until after a monogamous marriage, and always obey the authority are three examples of a commandment from a toxic authority. And they have a stat counter called tradition. Tradition is a measure of how you feel about your authority would judge you and your behavior. It goes from 0 to 4. Your tradition starts at 1. You gain a point of tradition whenever you make a personal sacrifice to act in accordance with your commandments to a maximum of 4. When you are at 4 tradition, you incur a condition each time you act contrary to your commandments. Spend tradition at any time to temper the wrath of the authority, or to take plus 1 forward to follow your commandments, or to call on a toxic power. They also have convictions. When you break a commandment and repudiate it forever, cross it off and mark XP. Write a conviction expressing your new beliefs, something that contradicts the commandment. Each time you live up to a conviction, despite temptation or cost, reduce your tradition by 1 and ask an onlooker if they agree with that conviction. If they say yes, take a string on them and learn what holds them back from living up to it, if anything. If they say no, mark a
in the dill hole. The Dylan hole.
Remember that I used to write little audio dramas and would speak eloquently for like 30 minutes at a time? Can't do that anymore.
How many times do you have to speak to actually be eloquent?
Oh, a lot.
Editing is a thing.
It is. Boy, isn't it? Playbook moves. People are people. When you talk about your home, roll plus heart. On a 7 to 9, choose 1. Admit a flaw about your home and gain plus 1 forward. Share something good about your home, clear a condition, or lie about your home to impress a listener and take a string on them. On a 10 plus, you choose 2. And their truths of heart and blade are, I don't belong. When you become smitten with someone, say why, give them a string and answer the question, which of your values do they openly violate or decry? And not so different. When you figure out a person during physical conflict, you may additionally ask one of these questions, even on a 6 or lower. What prejudice do you hold, or what tradition do you most value? This one can be a little tough.
Yeah, this is a harder one from the others.
And like, I feel like this one's going to hit a little closer to home for us people who live in the more southern parts of the United States where we have these.
I grew up in Utah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I'm a Kentucky boy. It's like, you can have your own thoughts and opinions, but like, Grampy ain't going to like you much after that.
Yeah, but if you show your shoulders,
I was a German who moved to the South. Weird.
The German South.
I was a German who moved to Oklahoma. So.
Southern German, United States.
Yeah, that was fun.
I have chosen the oof path of life.
Oof.
Now for my favorite fucking playbook, The Spooky Witch. This is absolutely the one I want to play the most, is The Spooky Witch. The Spooky Witch is a weirdo who does their own thing while craving connection. They've found that many monsters are quite friendly if you give them a chance, but befriending them brands you a monster as well. Their central conflict lies in navigating pressures to conform versus their own desires or those of their monstrous friends. Their stat distributions can be +0 to daring and grace, -1 to heart, +1 to wit, and +1 to spirit, or -1 to daring, +1 to grace, +0 to heart and wit, and +1 to spirit.
That one hits.
They have the unseen.
That's humble.
Like, leave me alone, but also, I mean, please talk to me. Dear God.
I am just, like, I like that it just, like, they're a weirdo, and it's like, yep, that's me. That's the guy. That's the me right now is the weirdo.
Oof.
The unseen.
I was listening to that, and I was like, that is Dylan.
The unseen are mysterious beings who most cannot perceive. Their very existence may be debated, but you know the truth because they have spoken to you. You know that some are kind and some are dangerous, that they have abilities and limitations that differ from normal people, and that you find yourself in between. Work with your GM to define what the unseen are or what your spooky witch thinks they are. They could be friendly spirits, phase-shifted aliens, psychic remnants, glitched-out nanites, angry poltergeists, or something totally other. When did you first interact with them, and what do you think they want?
To become.
I have seen into the deep void of the endless cosmos, and I know that the stars are not gas, but eyes of the vile, insurmountable creatures who glare down at us in hatred at our very existence, which is an affront to their claim to the nothingness.
Surprisingly, and the world anyway, is flat. Surprisingly, they just want really dick.
they really are just like super horny. That's all the outer gods really want. Just getting dick down.
It's just hard to get dick down, I guess.
Yeah, especially whenever you're an all-consuming void. Like, how does that even work?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's perfect for getting dick down.
Just tell us, H.P. Lovecraft. How do you dick down the endless void?
Cthulhu's all tentacles, buddy.
He's also mostly dead? But also that's not. He's dead but not, and also alive but not. It's like the whole thing about Cthulhu. Commune with the unseen. When you perform a ritual to commune with the unseen, give a dangerous unseen a string on you and roll plus spirit. On a 7 to 9, choose 2 from a 10 plus list, but also choose one thing that goes awry. The restless unseen cause a haunting, hungry unseen destroy all non-sentient life in a small area, and stern unseen judge you, inflicting a condition. On 10 plus, you choose 2. Hide something in the unseen world, learn something important from the unseen, temporarily alter the unseen nature of a place, ask a question from figure out a person of anyone anywhere if you can name one of their deceased loved ones, and learn a recent history of an object you hold.
That's really cool. I can see why you want it.
And this is what really got me. One of their big playbook moves is, I like snails. When you are smitten with someone and figure them out, blurt out something weird and let them ask you a question from the list. Then ask another question from the list, even on a 6 or lower. And their truths of heart and blade are, why did I bring up the snails?
That's funny.
When you become smitten with someone, say why, give them a string and answer the question, what obvious thing about you are you sure would make them reject you? And whispered secrets. When you figure out a person during a physical conflict, you may additionally ask one of these questions, even on a 6 or lower. What makes you insecure or what haunts you?
He'll never love me because I'm a crab man.
I'm literally made out of thousands of smaller people acting in tandem.
I've mind.
I ate so much crab and didn't think about the consequences of my love life.
I'm actually just three dwarves in a trench coat.
Why didn't I crap after eating all that crab meat?
The final playbook is the Trickster. I would like to point out that this one, the artwork for it is a person who appears to be wearing a mask, but I believe their actual face is a giant slavering mouth that opens up in their midsection.
Oh, that's pre-bonders. So cool.
How big is the mask?
It's a mimic.
No, honey.
Oh, the mask is on like a false head.
But it doesn't even have, what is it? It doesn't have anything to support the head.
I mean, there's a head in there, but like Where? Their real face is on their torso.
Wait.
Look, they look like a normal person wearing a mask.
But their torso just splits open in half.
Yeah, and there's like a mouth in there.
Then why have a mask on at all if their face is normal?
Trying to hide. Because,
yeah, they're hiding it.
They're a trickster. Like,
this doesn't make any sense, Dylan. Bring back my realism in this fantasy world.
No. No!
Logic.
Look, that's the best way for a mimic to get food. Just look like you're a really pretty lady way in a dungeon and go, oh no, help me. And then they go and they're like, oh, that's a pretty lady. They go over and then chomp.
The real secret to finding out a mimic is looking at the chain direction.
But, oh man, Dark Souls reference. The Trickster is devious and calculating. They fear closeness, sincerity, and vulnerability. If they show you the truth of their heart, they'll be wearing a mask to do it. Their central conflict lies in desiring closeness while fearing vulnerability.
Wow. That's some kind of avoidant romance disorder, if I remember correctly. What is that? Avoidant attachment. That's it.
Not the Jedi way.
It's called being the anti-hero protagonist in any romance novel.
Avoidant. This is why so many people get into avoidant and anxious attachment styles, is because of these things. And because humanity is both lonely and desperate to be alone all the time.
Their stat distributions can be plus one daring, plus zero grace, minus one heart, plus one wit, and plus zero spirit, or plus zero daring, plus one grace, minus one heart, plus one wit, and plus zero spirit. They will always start with minus one heart because sad boy times.
Oh.
Their big mechanic is too many feelings. They have a feelings meter. Your heart is as passionate as any other, but you bury it beneath layers of deception until you can't keep your feelings in any longer. You start at one and increase your feelings by one each time you gain a string, someone gains a string on you, or you mark a condition. You may also choose to increase your feelings anytime you find yourself gasping or swooning over someone. Strings assigned during character creation don't increase your feelings. When you open up to someone whose regard matters to you, reduce your feelings by two. When you secretly perform a loving act for someone, reduce your feelings by one. If your feelings track reaches four, you can't hold it in anymore. Tear off the mask and scream what you've been holding in, do what you've been afraid to do, and damn the consequences. You can give anyone present a string on you to gain a string on them. Stop when the consequences catch up with you, for good or ill. Afterwards, reduce your feelings to zero and clear your condition. It feels good to get it out, at least in the moment.
Okay.
Their starting playbook moves are, feelings. When someone when someone offers you emotional support and you refuse to open up, increase your feelings by one and choose one from the listed options for that move as if they rolled a 7 to 9. If they rolled a 10 plus, they know they got through to you. They gain the benefits of the 10 plus result as if you had opened up. The mask. When you seek to persuade an NPC of a lie about yourself, roll plus wit. On a 7 to 9, they believe a big lie. The lie you have chosen is unexpectedly perfect, creating a new opportunity. They give you the benefit of the doubt and remain convinced even if there is some evidence of your lie. On a 10 plus, you choose 2. Additionally, whenever a PC figures you out, you can give false answers. You must increase your feelings by 1 at the end of any scene where you do this. They are the only person who can lie. They are the only ones who can lie.
Comes with consequences, but they can.
But can they lie in roleplay?
Presumably. It's kind of like the whole point of their character.
Can they lie in wait?
That was awful.
That's a big brain action there.
Their truths of heart and greed are a beautiful lie. When you become smitten with someone, say why, give them a string, and answer the question, what secret do you have that you think would make them reject you if they knew? And I see through you. When you figure out a person during a physical conflict, you may additionally ask one of these questions, even on a 6 or lower. Who do you want me to be, or what are you most afraid of right now?
Hmm.
It's a beautiful lie. It's a perfect denial. Such a beautiful lie to believe in. I like 30 Seconds to Mars.
This sounds like the Richard Cheese version.
Cheese?
I am, in fact, Ricardo Queso. From here on, there's a few, like, GMing stuffs. I like a lot of this game on concept. I have not gotten to play it yet, so I can't give, like, a fully fleshed out opinion on it yet, because I haven't played it. But I would like to, and I feel like I would be a terrible GM in this game. Because I have no idea how to do any of that. My GMing focus comes in deliberately hurting my players' feelings, which I'm very good at. I'm real good at making people sad. Just ask Caleb about it.
From what you told me...
He's a semi-depressed man.
From what you told me, he sounds like a very sensitive boy.
He can be. I like how we both said that at the same time. So... Closing thoughts, my friends and comrades.
I want to play this someday. It sounds like a lot of
fun. It does sound like fun.
It's very different, and I think I said this last time, and I kind of like that about it. Because even combat, it's not about physical pain. It's about every other type of pain. And about every other emotion, and I like that. So different. It makes you think about emotions, feelings, consequences, that last one is kind of big because a lot of players in other games just don't think about the consequences.
And that can be fine. Like, there's a lot of games that really are, like, you're just focused on the math and the mechanics. But not everyone likes that. I'm one of those people who don't like that.
Yeah, same.
I like Blades in the Dark. Ooh. I want to sell ghost drugs to kids.
Ooh.
Socials. Facebook.com/D20Dudes. Twitter.com/D20Dudes or @D20Dudes on Twitter. And we got a Discord link down in the description if you want to come hang out with us and tell us everything we got wrong, because I'm sure it was so many things.
Join us.
I really thought you said vagina for a second there. And I was like, hold, what? What are you doing?
I did not.
That would be a me move.
That would be a more word thing. Let's roll the D20 and see what next week's topic is going to be. It's a 7. We'll talk about Vampire the Masquerade next week.
Aren't you happy?
What do you mean again?
Oh, didn't we talk? No, we talked about Blades in the Dark last time.
Yeah, we've talked about Blades in the Dark a lot.
I get them mixed up a lot, okay?
I'm not
surprised. Like Vampire the Masquerade. Like, I was very iffy on whether or not I wanted to try a World of Darkness game for a very long time, because the very first game I ever picked up that was in the setting was Mage of the Awakening, which I ended up finding out was actually part of the Chronicles of Darkness, where they did like a reboot and like changed a whole bunch of stuff, and it was all very confusing and I had no idea what the hell was going on. And I finally decided to give in after the Ogre Popenang guys on the Alpha Busa channel made a little essay on the World of Darkness and why they like it and what makes it cool. And I picked up the Vampire the Masquerade 5th Edition Core Rulebook, read it for like 45 minutes, and then went back and bought like $200 worth of books.
Then brought them to Oklahoma so that we could make characters.
We did. I was in it. I was there for it. I love Vampire the Masquerade. It's so cool. Anyway, Wazzle, thank you everyone for listening. We're going to talk about vampires next week. Bye-bye.
Sweet.
Bye.
Look.